Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howell, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
We're going to give 8 updates on Sunday evening services. We get a lot of questions about them. We've talked about them in the past. We've written about them in the past, but things are changing. And with the church landscape changing as rapidly as it is, we think it is incumbent upon us just to tell you what we're seeing, hearing, and even researching at times in the area of Sunday evening services. So I think you'll really, really enjoy some of the information we have. Some of it you'll probably already know. But before we get to the 8 updates in our update series, we want to thank Midwestern Seminary for being our sponsor.
Yes, today's episode, as always, is sponsored by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. They offer more than 25 degrees at both the undergraduate and master's level that are fully attainable online. From business to Bible counseling to Christian education, you can prepare for your future at your own pace in your own location. You can learn more at mbts.edu/online. They had some news this week, Dr. Rainer, a couple of big announcements. Did you see that?
I saw one new addition as professor.
Yeah, Thomas Kidd. What? Thomas Kidd?
Yeah. I know, pretty huge. Incredible. Pretty.
And then they're starting basketball at the undergraduate level.
Really?
Yeah, the Spurgeon Knights. I think that's what they were calling them, the Knights. And they're going to have a basketball program. You know, Boyce started a basketball program when Dr. Scroggins was at Southern under him. And now they have a couple other things now. I think they have volleyball and soccer and basketball. And in 2019, they're going to start basketball at Spurgeon College.
That reminds me. Oh, I get this. I probably told you this story. In fact, there are very few stories that you haven't heard. When son Jess was in high school, he was a very good football player, and their team was very successful. In fact, their team in Louisville continues to win state championships even today. They won this past year, 2019 or 2018 state championship. And the football team had this period where they really were not involved in any sports, and most of them were not. And so a number of the football players decided to form a men's volleyball team. The first ever for the school. It was one of the most hilarious things. They were competing with the big schools because mainly the big schools had the volleyball, the men's volleyball team. And the matches were held on a basketball court. Usually you had 2 matches or maybe 3 going simultaneously. And our team would come out, and instead of just going and getting their positions, they would come out and dribble the volleyball. They would do layups in the goal, and the ref in the chair would start blowing the whistle at them. One time, the ball actually left the gym through an open door. The whole team left the whole gymnasium to go get the volleyball, and they got all these kind of penalties. They didn't even understand what the penalties were, and the biggest clown on the team, every time they got some kind of penalty, would climb up into the chair and go shake his hand and give him a hug. It was hilarious to watch a football team become the men's volleyball team. No disrespect to men's volleyball players. They just disrespected
the game, not the players, it sounds like.
It was some of the most fun I've ever had watching that. The sport, by the way, and I'll stop on this because I know we got to get to 8 updates. The sport that I enjoyed the least watching was cross country.
Well, that's because you just see them leave and then you see them finish. And for 20 minutes, you just stand around and kind of chit chat.
Yeah, every now and then you'd see somebody kind of shoot back and vomit. They got sick, so they come back and they just throw up. And so you get to watch them throw up. But other than that, that was the extent of the excitement for cross country. There they go. Okay, and I didn't have a smartphone back then, so it was.
So you had to actually talk to people standing around.
No, I had a book.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm guessing cross country wasn't that fun to do either, because I can't just imagine running 3 miles. All out.
Sam enjoyed it. Sam.
Well, good for Sam. Okay. So let's go. Sunday nights. Sunday evening services.
Sunday evening services.
All right. So there's like 2 things that you're known for hating. And one of them is Sunday evening services. You get a reputation as the guy who doesn't like Sunday evening services and has yelled about that.
I'm really sorry that I'm the negative naysayer about Sunday nights. I'm really very calm and rational about it. And I can't understand one bit why somebody would go to a worship service on Sunday morning and then turn around, maybe get a little bit of nap in, and then drag the kids off who need to go to school the next day. And they're screaming and crying and they don't want to go. And it's all this culturally irrelevant stuff just because it's the way that we've always done it. But why would you say, Jonathan, that I'm negative about it?
Because legalism. I'm going to get mad, nasty cards and letters for that. I'm sorry. But that's the driving factor in a lot of church Sunday evening services is legalism. It's not to come back and celebrate or to come back and for discipleship things. It's the legalism of we've always done this way. We've always done it this way before.
Maybe a little bit softer would be traditionalism.
That too.
Yeah, one or two. But let's give updates on where we are. Wait a minute, doesn't your church have Sunday evening services?
It does not.
Oh, it does not.
Well, every once in a while, we'll have a special event on Sunday nights, which is fine. You know, we have a choir concert or, you know, a kids choir thing or whatever, a special event. Those are okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's look at these 8 updates and 6 minutes into the podcast. Let's get to number one.
All right. Number one, it's still declining.
Yep. The traditional Sunday evening service is declining. I don't have hard data numbers on that. The anecdotal numbers are overwhelming, though. Fewer and fewer churches have the classic Sunday evening service, which is a service that is distinct from the Sunday morning service. In other words, it's different sermon, different music, and usually 1/10 of the people showing up. So the number of churches that are offering Sunday evening is still declining. And among the churches that are offering Sunday evening services, the number of people who are coming is still declining. So the decline is in the number of services overall and in the number of people who are coming to those specific services.
Yes, that's something that we've seen over the years. I mean, it continues to decline, and that brings us to number two. The most recent poll, 36% of churches have unique Sunday evening services. So this is way down.
And this is representative from our Church Answers community. We have 1,600 churches represented in Church Answers, and so a good number of those responded to this poll. I would think, Jonathan, and it's amazing. I've never asked this question. We probably need to get some demographics, but I would think that we would have more of the smaller or mid-sized churches. We have a number of large mid-mega and even mega churches represented, but I would think that we would have, say, a proportionate number of small and mid-sized churches represented at Church Answers. So that would be reflective of those churches too. I would think among that 36%, there would probably be the smaller churches that are offering Sunday evening.
Yes. And the ones that we are seeing, maybe I'm trying to see if we're going to, okay, we'll get to that at number 7. I was going to say that those are the ones that are succeeding in it, or we'll get to that at point number 7. But number 3, the typical return rate from Sunday morning is 1/3. So basically you're saying, if I average 300 people on Sunday morning, I'll have 100 on Sunday night.
Yep. And let's do the numbers. You can do a 1/3, a 1/3. 1/3 of the churches are offering Sunday evening, and they have 1/3 of the people coming back. So if that is the case, and you do your math on it, we need Julie to help us with the math here. That means 1 out of 9 people are coming on Sunday evening. If you do that math correctly,
it's just 11%.
Yes, just 11%, and I know, even though I have not done the demographics on this, I know if we were to do the demographics on that, it would be a much older group. And so it's probably a group that there will be fewer of in the future as well. So that 11% of church members who attend on Sunday night is going to be a number that will continue in decline if it's a unique Sunday night service.
All right. One trend that we are seeing increase related to Sunday nights is that more churches are moving their groups to Sunday night. So if they're doing non-Sunday school, where, you know, everybody's on campus on Sunday mornings, if they're doing home groups or community groups, life groups, whatever you want to call them, connect groups, I've seen, they're moving those to Sunday night because it's a free evening and not as much of a struggle for people. And it also kind of keeps them in the fellowship type of mood for the day.
Yeah. And the question would be, well, if you don't come back for a Sunday evening service, why would you come back for a Sunday evening community group? The answer to that is that this is different. The Sunday evening service attempts to be another worship service, and it's most of all the time it is a weak attempt to have another worship service. Community groups are absolutely necessary, and many community groups, life groups, Sunday school, whatever we call them. And many of the church members would rather say, okay, this is the best night for my family to have this. And that, again, it is something that is different. Another reason that this is increasing is because all of the worship space can be subdivided for community groups if you want to have on campus. And more groups are going on campus because of the child care and liability issue. So that allows that to happen all in one day. So those are some of the reasons that more churches are moving groups to Sunday evening.
All right. Number five, more common in older and smaller churches. So we see the Sunday evening services, and this has remained true even when we started tracking this a few years ago. We've seen it is more common in the more traditional settings and the more rural settings, as well as the smaller church settings.
Yeah. Can you think of one? And I'm sure the listeners, with the number of listeners that we have at Rainer on Leadership, I'm sure they can come up with examples of this. But I cannot come up with one example of a church that was started in the last 5 years that has a unique Sunday evening service. Can you think of any?
No, nobody's doing that. The churches that are starting these days aren't doing Sunday nights. If they are, we're going to talk about them in number seven.
Yeah, we're going to talk about them on the positive side when we do that. So we've mentioned this before, the smaller churches and the older, and it's not just the older congregations in terms of how long has the church been around. It's the older congregations in terms of how old the people are within those congregations.
Mm-hmm. Because it's based on traditional
practices,
not on theological practices. And this is a broad brush. All right, I'm going to admit it on the front end. Churches that are planted today are more theologically, what they do, they seem to think through theology more than established churches, because they seem to think through tradition more.
I think that's
a broad brush, and
as a general rule,
but yeah, but generally speaking,
yeah, I think that's fair as a general rule. Well, so,
because church plants don't have tradition, they don't have that the established church mentality until a few years into it, obviously.
Yep, and even then they can begin to have. That's why I asked the question for churches 5 years or younger, and I don't think we can think of any. I really can't think of any churches 15 years or younger that have Sunday evening services.
Unless they came out of a split from a more traditional church and felt like, all right, well, we split off, we're now, we split off from Blessings Baptist Church, and now we're in New Blessings Baptist Church, and we have to have the same schedule as the guys down the street or whatever it is.
Yeah, we need to do a podcast one day in the future on church split names like Harmony and New Harmony, Hope and New Hope, Unity and New Unity. We've done church names before, I believe, on the blog. Might be fun to do it on the podcast. Yeah. Weird church names.
My favorite is the city of Rimlap, Alabama.
And it is named Rimlap because there was a feud with the Palmer family.
Yeah, in Palmerville, right down the road. So they moved down the road and started their own little town and called it Rimlap, which is Palmer spelled backwards.
God, no.
So
I learned that from one of my students. I'm not sure if you heard it from me or you heard it elsewhere.
And I've heard stories about the things there. So yeah, it's fascinating. So let's just say some things don't die. They just live on forever. All right, so that leads us to number six. And this is where, we talked about my church. Sunday evenings are often used for special occasions.
I am in a new church, relatively new, 2 years old. And we have Sunday evening services on occasion. Mm-hmm. Typically, our Sunday evening services, when we have them on occasion or a major, we focus on the music. We have some type of music special. And we just have a time of worship and celebration. So that is not uncommon for us. It's just the routine of doing things the way that we've always done them. You know what I've tried? Have you ever tried to analyze me, Jonathan?
That would be a fruitless exercise.
I understand that. And I'm trying to analyze me too. First of all, I am old. I am about to turn 64 years old. So antiquity is my synonym. So I'm old. Secondly, I get frustrated with the way old people act. And it's just weird because I am one of them. I'm trying to figure out the psyche behind me. I mean, I get frustrated when some of the older generation say you're not being godly if you don't go to Sunday evening service, or you're not being godly if you don't have a standing great time. I don't understand me. I feel
that's the other thing that you're known for hating, by the way. We talked about that at the top. There's two things: Sunday evenings and standing greet.
Yeah, yeah. Who was it that? Oh gosh, I'm trying to think of the reform blogger that talks about me on that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay, it was funny. It was humorous. Talking about my distaste for standing greet. I don't have a distaste for standing greet, other than that it's one of the most ungodly things I can imagine the church doing. But we'll move on from that one,
John. Send those to Tom at church. So, all right. But yes, special occasions, that's a normal thing. It makes it easy. Sunday nights are an easy opportunity for you to have those special occasions. Maybe it's fellowships, maybe it's meetings, maybe, you know, whatever it may be. Even the churches that I know that don't have Sunday evening services, they do things on Sunday nights for special occasions. Number seven is something we've alluded to several times in the podcast now, but it's Sunday evenings are also used as an alternative to Sunday morning services. So it's a duplicate service where if you miss Sunday morning, you can make it on Sunday night.
You will hear me talk about this issue more and more. And this issue is referring to worship services other than Sunday morning, whether it's a Saturday night, a Thursday night, or a Sunday night, other than Sunday morning. And the demographics are pushing us in that direction. Unless you have some type of theological objection to it, this is one of the prime opportunities. Every single community has people in their church that have to work some Sundays. Some of them have to work most all Sundays. It is and usually it's a Sunday morning. So if you free up a Sunday night, that's a great opportunity. It's really a great opportunity if you have a college or university. And oftentimes the young people are either going out of town or sleeping in from Saturday night, and Sunday night becomes a good alternative for them as well. Son Sam did that when he was a pastor of a church in Murray, Kentucky, Murray State University, and a lot of the Murray State students started choosing Sunday night as their alternative service. So the key here is that this service is a duplicate of Sunday morning. It is not something that is new. It is an alternative time to come. So if you come on Sunday morning, there's really not any need for you to come on Sunday night.
All right. And then finally, there's opposition to discontinuing these services. It's waning. So the people who have been opposed to stopping Sunday night services are kind of going, well, you know, maybe it wouldn't be too bad if we didn't.
And some of it is just the demographics, and some of them have died off. And some of the most ardent supporters of the same Sunday evening
for
service.
For some of them, it's tough to get out at night and drive. I mean, I know, exactly. This, you know, old people like you have trouble driving at night sometimes.
You know what? That does remind me. You're kind of right. I don't like driving at night hardly any anymore.
You don't like driving, period. Let's just.
I don't like driving, period. And you used to travel with me a lot until I retired from Lifeway, and so now I don't travel as much because I don't like traveling, but I have to travel by myself. And I used to always get a rental car. I'm Mr. Uber now. In fact, 2 days from this podcast, 3 days, 3 days from this podcast, I'm flying to Orlando to speak at a convention. And Amy had a rental car reserved for me. I said, no, I'll just Uber. I mean, I don't like to drive.
Yeah. If you're not needing to go around places in the city while you're there, there's no reason for a rental. It's easier to just get an Uber.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, we can get into the Uber versus Lyft debate. I've already told
we
you
don't why need
I'm to. We've already told you why I'm the Uber guy, but that would be going down a rabbit trail we don't need to get. But there are a lot of reasons why those who are pro Sunday evening are no longer really pushing that. You've alluded to one. As the boomer generation gets older, those who are some of the primary voices of objection will say, you know, it's kind of tough for me to get out. And some of those who are primary voices of objection have already died.
Yeah.
And so it is waning. And I think this tradition probably will go away in the form that we know it today.
And one of the struggles, you know, my wife being a children's minister, one of the struggles that she's seen with families trying to get back out on Sunday evenings is, for the most part, not anymore, because my kids just finished school last month, but It's a school night. Sunday night is a school night. Yep. If you think about it, I mean, because they're having to get ready to go to school on Monday morning. They need to be in bed. And a later service, and a lot of times, too, the timing of the service and dinner, and it just, it's a really awkward kind of transition at times. So, and a timing situation for people with young families.
Well, right now we're seeing about 1 out of 11 active churchgoers attend on Sunday evening. I wish I had been doing this in a longitudinal study, and we would be watching this steadily decline. I bet if we do this 2 or 3 years from now, it's going to be more like 1 out of 20 instead of 1 out of 11. This will continue to be a cultural, not a theological, but a cultural phenomenon that I see going away. So we will watch this. We will watch it closely. And in the meantime, we're always grateful for our long-term sponsor.
Yeah, Vanderblumen Search Group has been with us for years, and they have 12 Vanderblumen differences that allow them to serve their clients better than anyone else. One of those is that theology matters. Vanderblumen staff has more seminary and theological experience than any other search firm. They have more than 250 collective hours of church leadership experience on staff. So to learn more about all 12 of Vanderblumen's differences, visit vanderdifference.com. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
We'll continue to monitor these type of trends. I would let the listening audience know that we will be releasing a monthly newsletter. It'll be very simple, but at the same time, something that'll have a lot of jam-packed information on trends, future church, and things like that. But that's for the future, and we'll just let it go for now. But through the podcast, through the blog, through Church Answers, we will do our very best to keep you updated on all things that are happening in local congregational life, specifically in North America. So stay tuned. More is coming.
As a church leader, you know how tough marriage can be. There's never enough time to help every couple. There's never enough resources to go around, and we often don't feel like marriage experts. That's why we want to tell you about Woo Marriage, a brand new tool from Lifeway that provides Christ-centered marriage coaching for every couple in your church. Backed by research and design with your church in mind, Woo Marriage provides a plan for your marriage ministry with video courses for all seasons of marriage. Whether you need to prepare couples for marriage, strengthen marriages, or restore relationships, you'll have an affordable, flexible plan right at your fingertips. There are courses for communication, managing finances, handling conflict, and many more. Try it free for 1 month with offer code leadership when you go to woomarriage.com/free trial. That's offer code leadership when you check out at woomarriage.com/free trial. Once again, thanks for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership, a member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.